Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going all right, Rich. Thank you for your patience.
Oh, anytime, man. Absolutely. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, well, great, man. Like I said, great. This is only my second Zoom call, so
Cool.
yeah, and I sorry I got screwed up with the time. I got a
No. That's okay. You got little ones, man.
Welcome everyone to the Marvel of Horror, where we discuss all things past, present, and future as they pertain to the horror genre. I'm your host, your friend, fellow horror enthusiast Bruce Marvel, and today we have writer, creator Rich Woodall. You've seen him covers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: The Last Ronin, Masters of the Universe. He's creator, co-creator of Sergeant Werewolf, right? Yeah. Were you co-creator of
The
Black Hair
electric.
Man?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, the Black Caravan and the Electric Black, the
Yeah.
Electric Black being a comic book, Black Caravan being a publishing arm of a company. Myself and Joseph Schmalke, who is a major horror creator, we both combined our forces for more evil.
Yes, I love
Yes.
it. You started what when you were 6 years old, right?
I mean, I've been drawing forever. Yeah, I distinctly remember being in like kindergarten, and you finish your paper, whatever you're drawing, and I remember flipping it over on the back, and you're not coloring in whatever they gave you. And I started drawing probably like a G.I. Joe. Like I loved G.I. Joe at the time, and I was
Yes.
making up my own vehicles. So it was a giant circle, and I was doing the cutaway thing. So
Okay.
okay, on this level this is where they sleep, and then this level is where all the weapons are, and then the tanks and stuff are down here. Yeah, so it was like that. That's my first memory of drawing. It's just gotten better since then.
Well, yeah, I've seen like I mean some of them Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin covers are awesome. I've seen some of
Oh,
the
thanks.
Masters do the math. Come on, man. Masters
The
of
Matt
the Universe. Crush
that
it.
was one of these things where I was like, I will probably never be hired to do Masters of the Universe again. So I'm gonna put everything I've got, try to get as many characters as I can into this. That was really cool because they sent us a style guide for Masters of the Universe, and it literally had every toy they've ever produced. I mean,
See,
this thing was like 200 or 300 pages long.
like I said, I remember having like all those toys. Like I was young enough, or I'm old,
Yeah.
I'm just the right age where He-Man still had a lot of glory years before it went under, but I was still young enough to start collecting Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So I went
Yeah.
right into, I mean, I had like G.I. Joes and like superheroes and stuff too, but yeah, Masters of the Universe and like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were like my biggest toy collections like growing up.
Yeah.
Like I remember getting Eternia. I was like the only, me
Oh.
and my brothers were like the only, we were the only ones we ever like knew who even had that thing.
Yeah, I never had. I remember seeing it, but I didn't have it.
But I always wanted Snake Mountain, and I never got Snake Mountain.
Right.
So as an
Yeah.
adult, when I had money, I went
Yeah,
and got
now you
Snake
can.
Mountain.
Yeah, now we can buy all the cool shit that we couldn't afford, our parents couldn't afford as kids.
Yeah. And now I just have a wife saying, "You got to stop buying a snake,
Right. Yeah.
or you got
Yeah.
to sell something else."
Exactly. Yeah, you run out of room, right? Like,
Yeah.
yeah.
Obviously, you're like a big horror guy. See the Jason mask in the background. Like your
Yeah.
artwork reflects that a lot, man. What was your first real experience with like the horror genre? Was it like a movie? Was it a character per se?
As a really young kid, like my dad is really into movies. And he was into horror movies. Between my dad being into horror movies and my grandparents being into like old sci-fi movies, like my dad would show me, and I really remember this was horrible, or amazing. I lived in the middle of Arkansas, or in the middle of like nowhere Arkansas. So we lived out in the woods, far away from anything. Like our nearest neighbor was, I think we could see them, but yeah, like there's not a lot of people around. But I remember my dad showed me Evil Dead,
Oh,
and I was like 5 or 6. And so yeah, he scared the shit out of me any chance he got, and he loved it. Like Jaws, actually, Jaws was probably the first horror movie I ever saw, and he would jump scare me when the boat would come. They and Hooper would go down and get the tooth, and the
Oh,
head would
yeah.
come out. He would grab me and scream every time, right? So I would, but Evil Dead really did it because I'm like, this is where I live, right? You're out in the middle of the woods, and I remember going out and grabbing like a gardening shovel that my mom had, and I was like, well, I guess this is gonna have to do. Like, I'm gonna have to chop up some people like with this if something goes down.
If something comes out of the
Yeah.
ground or trees try to rape me, I have the shovel.
I have this shovel that I'm sure, yeah, I'm not gonna last very long. But
Saw it worked.
on the I saw so on the opposite side of that with my grandparents, like I spent a lot of time, they lived down the road from us, spent a lot of time with them. Like my grandmother's version of horror was like Day of the Triffids. So
Okay.
she shows me that and she's like, oh, this is a scary movie. Like, I don't want to scare you too bad. And meanwhile, I'm like, I've already seen like this demon in a basement, like trying
Yeah.
to get out. I am good with Day of the Triffids. Yeah. But yeah, like that was the start of it. And I actually have these two comics I had when I was a kid. These are like from 1983, 84.
Yes.
And like, so these are some of the earliest comics that I had as a kid. And it was like random comics, right? Like I don't know how I got them. I'm sure I was probably at a grocery store and I just grabbed them, or my parents or grandparents gave them to me. But like I had random things like Star Wars. I had lots of Star Wars and G.I. Joe comics, and then like just random like a Batman here or Swamp Thing, and yeah, Ghost Tale. Yeah, it's weird. One night it was like probably 10 or 12. We're driving down the road again, the middle of nowhere, Arkansas. It's a dirt road, actually, I got two stories. If you don't mind, I don't want to take
Yeah,
up.
dude, man, go ahead, please. This is good.
So he hits a bump. It's a dirt road. There's lots of bumps. Hits a bump, and he goes, "Oh my God, I just hit a werewolf!" And so my brother and I go to the back of. We're like in this van, right? We go to the back of the van and we're like hanging on, like looking out the back, and all you can see is red taillights. And my brother screams, "Dad, go faster. He's chasing us." And I'm like, "Oh my God, like I don't see anything, but yeah, go faster." And another time, it was Halloween, and my dad was telling us stories about when he was a kid and telling us about ghouls. And he's like, "Yeah, so ghouls. What they did was they would come out only on Halloween night, and they would get you and grab you and eat you, right? But they had to go back into their graves when the sun came up." And he told us, like, "One night I was out on Halloween as a kid, and I stayed out all night, and I walked past this graveyard going home, and this ghoul chased me, but then the sun came up, so he had to go." So he feeds all this into our heads, and then I didn't know this at the time, but his gas meter did not work in the truck that he had. It was like an old beat up truck, right? It always read empty. So he starts pumping the gas and stops the truck right in front of a graveyard on Halloween night, the night that the ghouls are coming out. And he's like, "All right, guys, be quiet. I'm gonna go get gas. Be quiet. I'm going to be gone for an hour. I'm going to get gas, but you have to stay in the floorboard of the truck and be quiet, or the ghoul's going to come and get you." So we're like, again, losing our minds,
Yeah.
getting to the floorboard of the truck, like trying to, don't say anything. He went, like, we're watching him go. You see the headlights. He goes as far as we can see him and doubled back in the woods and jumped in the back of the truck and starts slamming on the roof of the truck. I pissed myself out of fear, and then I'm pretty sure he got mad at me.
He got mad at you.
Yeah, like kind of your fault. I pissed myself, but yeah, like horror was always there. It was, and he loved it.
When we were kids, there was a place literally called Satan's Landing.
Jeez. Like, we're just laying it all out there for you.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I want to say I was like, I think I was like 6, maybe 7 years old. I think
Yeah.
couldn't have been older than 8. And it's like, yeah, we're going to Satan's Landing for the weekend. I remember going and it just being like legit scary all the time. Like, we used to go to Wildwood Beach like every summer. And Wildwood Beach had like a had a thing called, it was literally called Dracula's Castle.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh man, you could, so you could take a tour inside where they had like a boat ride like underneath the castle. And
Yeah.
I'll never forget, like, my dad's like, yeah, come on, I'm gonna get, and I'm like I said, I'm like maybe
Yeah.
6 years old, maybe 7 years old. And I'm like
Yeah.
terrified, but I love it too. Like, I'd already loved monsters by then.
Yeah.
I'll never forget getting in this boat ride, and the guy looked at my, yeah, I didn't see him, you know, like the guy was cool, but my dad kind of gave him like the go ahead, like, yeah, if you want to kind of creep him, he's all right, he's with me, he's cool.
Yeah.
Guy grabbed me before I got in, and he's like, before you get on, there's only one rule: no blood in the boat. And I was like, oh. I looked at my dad, and my dad's like, all right, we gotta be no blood in the boat, we gotta be safe.
Yes. Yeah.
I've been out of the comic world for a while. Like,
Sure.
I go and read some of the Hellboy stuff, but
Yeah.
the mainstream stuff is like kind of dead to me.
Yeah, right now is kind of a really cool spot for horror fans, especially in comics. There's stuff like, I don't know if you've checked out Something Is Killing the Children.
No.
There's just a lot of really good horror books right now. The books that I'm working on right now, I've got a book called The Bloody Ring of Dracula,
I
and
saw that. I was looking at that. It looked pretty, it looked really good.
oh, thank you. Yeah, that's with my partner from Gods of Brutality, Mark Welzer. We as we were kind of wrapping up the end of Gods of Brutality, we're thinking about what are we going to do for the next, for the second part, the second story arc. And one of the things that I think Mark threw out was like, I'd love to do like a Lucha Dracula. Like, oh, that sounds awesome. And then we were thinking, well, and this is giving away what we were thinking, but it's okay. It's gonna be a long time before we get there. We were thinking, oh, well, what if so Gods of Brutality is about a rock star from the 80s who dies and goes to hell, and then he prays to like everybody, like whoever will listen to save him. And Thor and Hercules come down to save him. And so the entire book is just Thor and Hercules and this rock star just destroying demons, right? And going through revenge. They're not out of hell, and they won't be for like several story arcs, but that's the basis. And we thought, oh, well, what if in the second season, like they have to fight like a Lucha Dracula in hell? Like he's got his own like wrestling thing in hell. And then we're like, well, it'd be fun to tell the origin of how Dracula got to hell as a lucha wrestler. And so that's
Yeah.
what the book that we're doing right now. It starts where the Dracula novel ends with Van Helsing coming to kill him, only he gets away and makes his way down to Mexico and becomes a lucha wrestler.
That sounds like a great movie nobody's like putting into, you know what I mean? Like, come on,
Yeah.
they gave us Wolf Cop. I want to see Lucha Dracula.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I don't want a budget for this thing. I just want it to be cheapo, like, yeah, film it in a weekend. Have fun.
Yeah, like I said, well, let me know if there's a GoFundMe ever to make this
Yeah,
movie.
I will.
Right.
Absolutely.
Jason Colciano, who works at Captain Blue Hand Comics up by our way,
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he was talking about that book. I had him on the show like I want to say almost a year ago.
Yeah, no, Jason's the one who he sent me to you.
Yes,
People,
okay.
yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
he was talking about that book.
he's awesome. All the
Okay.
guys at Captain Blueham are great.
I'm really glad there's guys like you out there, like really still doing
Oh,
it,
thank
even if
you.
it's independent stuff. But what's if you had the money, if you
Yeah.
had the time, you had out in the stars aligned, like what's a dream horror project for you as far as
Oh,
comics?
man. You know what? They're doing it now at Skybound, the guys who put out The Walking Dead and Invincible, Robert Kirkman's imprint for Image. I've always wanted to do a Universal Monsters
Yes.
universe. I want to do a universe, right? Like it amazes me that Universal cannot figure out how to do the Universal monsters today.
Oh my God, I am glad.
Yeah.
This is a great segue. Yes, please, because I have a feeling where we're going with this.
Yes.
And you're right. They can't figure it out.
No, but it's easy. You put it
in is the, easy.
You put it in the 1700s, 1800s in a fake European world, right? And that's all you need. You take out all the cell phones and technology and bullshit that we have to deal with today, and you make it simple. Like, it's monsters and people. And
yeah,
it doesn't have to be more complicated than that.
It really doesn't. And I'm glad, because like I watched these films, and I saw what I like the 2010 Wolfman.
Yes,
I really did.
I did too. And that was kind of set back in the day, so it was, yeah.
And it worked. And you thought something was going to come out of that. It didn't. And then you saw what they were trying to do with The Mummy.
Right.
And which I didn't hate the
movie. But it's not what you were, not what we're looking for.
And I'm sitting there like this.
Yeah.
Like, man, they already made a universe back in like the 40s.
Right. Yeah.
And it was excellent.
It was great. Yeah. It's crazy. You know, you look at the overall, you know, it's basically Frankenstein and Dracula, the Invisible Man, like those could definitely be at the same time. Creature was a little late, you know. I guess Creature at the time was set in modern day, right?
Yeah, because it was I think Creature was like what? I think it was like 56, maybe 55.
Yeah.
Something
and
like
it felt modern day, you know, 50s, which is fine because it was kind of atomic. It was that was that bridge between atomic age stuff and old horror, you know, the old mythological kind of creatures.
Yeah, like I think that's like the decade where we got like 20 Monster from 20,000 Phantoms and all. I mean, it's all great stuff. Monster Challenge the World, like all that great stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Definitely like that post nuclear bomb era, you know what I mean? But to your point though, like the classic stuff, and me and people like going on about this all the time, it's like they were the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right.
Before the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Absolutely.
And it's like, man, it's like, how do we connect them? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe go watch Abbott Costello meet Frankenstein.
Right.
It's right.
Yeah, exactly. And that, I mean, that modernized them. But at the same time, maybe it's a nostalgia thing for us. Like, it didn't feel modern because it's not modern for us. You know, that was the Abbott and Costello stuff was set in like the 50s or whatever.
Over email, you were talking like, much like me, you love the old Universal stuff. And I'm guessing, am I correct in thinking the Wolfman's your favorite?
You know, I think Frankenstein is tough. Every day you ask me, I'll be like, oh yeah, it's Frankenstein today. Oh, it's Wolfman today. Yeah. I mean, it's the big three, you know, Dracula, Frankenstein, and Wolfman. Those are my absolute favorite. And that's why I'm doing Sergeant Werewolf. It's like, I do a comic Sergeant Werewolf. I've got the Bloody Ring of Dracula. And then I have another book that I'm working, that I'm drawing, called Space Frankenstein is Angry. And
oh my God, when does that come out?
I'm really, really slow. So it's going to be a little while, but the idea behind that is when, you know, instead of Frankenstein, you know, kind of going off to the Arctic, he ends up in space, and then he's frozen in like the Cooper Belt, right, for a couple hundred years. And once explorers start, you know, mining out there, they find him and they wake him back up, and he's got like a gear shift in him, so he can like put it into like hyper overdrive and just like become muscular and just rip things apart. Anyway, it's just dumb action, which is how I describe all my books. They're just dumb action, you know, it's monsters and stuff. But like, that's why I did those three, is I just wanted to do Universal monsters, but I want to put my weird twist on them. My local comic shop is Jetpack Comics, and it's run by this guy, Ralph DiBernardo. And 40 years ago, Ralph put on the very first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles convention. I mean, it wasn't a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles convention at the time, but it was the first show that Eastman and Laird were at, and they sold Turtles One. And they actually gave, so they gave Ralph a bunch of copies. He had a local comic shop. This was in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, which is like 20 minutes from here. Ralph cut them all up and pasted them to the window of his shop as like promotion, right? Because this is a little shitty comic that, you know, some two local guys made. Here's 100 copies cut up and hung up in my window. Now that book is worth crazy money now. I mean, he had like $1 million worth of cut up covers on his window. So 40 years later, fast forward, Ralph is putting on a Turtles convention that's the 40th anniversary in Portsmouth. And I'm doing all the design work for him and everything for the show. And there's lots of Turtles guests. Kevin's going to be there, and a lot of guys from Mirage Studios are going to be there. It's going to be, that's going to be awesome. And that's in April. I think when we were emailing each other, we were talking about like, what do we want to talk about? And I mentioned that, like, I just got a bunch of like 70s DC horror stuff, like House of Secrets and House of Mystery and stuff like that. And I mean, Wrightson hit at that right time. And he was kind of like, there were a lot of really good horror artists at the time, but I always kind of compare him to, like, he was like the Wally Wood of that time, like from the EC days. Like, Wally Wood was always my favorite illustrator, or after I found out about him, like, Wally Wood was amazing. And Wrightson kind of had some of that Wally Wood kind of, I don't know, DNA in him. But Wrightson stuff's just so freaking good, and he pushed the barriers of art to a whole new level.
Like, I remember the first time I ever saw his stuff, and I didn't even realize it was him. Like, it took me out. Like, oh shit, that's so and so. It's like, because I had my old copy of Psycho the Werewolf.
Yes.
You know what I mean, yeah. I'm like, holy shit, I never even realized, like, that's, you know what I mean, I read that later. I was like, man, this is really cool artwork, and this is
yeah.
Stuff. And then, like, years later, I got that Frankenstein. I'm like, oh shit, Bernie. Then I was reading, Swamp Thing hardcover reads. And I was like, fuck, it's that guy. This is awesome.
He just keeps popping up.
Yeah. So there's horror comics, like, I think the EC stuff, because we were talking, like, I think they're bringing that stuff back, right?
They are. Yeah. Somebody bought the rights to produce new EC stuff, and the weird thing is, or interesting, kind of cool, maybe, is that they're not doing, as far as I know, they're not doing like the traditional Tales from the Crypt or like Weird Science Fantasy or anything like that. They're coming up with like new titles, Beyond the Abyss or whatever it is. I can't remember, but like, they have a lot of horror writers from now. Jason, I think Jason Aaron is one of the guys that I'm looking forward to.
I'm looking forward to it. Like, it's cool, man. I hope it just, because I mean, like you said, like we were talking way earlier in the show, it's like, there's a lot of this horror stuff out there, and there's such an audience for it. It's like, yeah, man, bring on something new, but try. I hope they try and hold on to like that old style of the artwork. Like, don't carbon copy it.
Right. At comic shows or whatever, a lot of times people will come up and, you know, get commissions or whatever. And, you know, they'll be like, oh, can you draw My Little Pony? And I'll kind of look at my stuff. I'm like, what about what I do tells you that I would be the one that you should choose My Little Pony for, right? Like, it's weird, but there's guys that are really good at putting a lot of ink down on a page and getting that mood and that atmosphere and everything. And I think it's kind of cool to see these guys that build that kind of thing. And it is reminiscent of those EC books. And I mean, those guys were so good at it, and
yeah,
they were pumping out stories, like, you know, like on a crazy fast basis back then.
I got the story because we were talking about Pittsburgh. An old buddy of mine named Rob, he's really big into The Flash.
Yeah.
So This was back in the day when you can actually get a sketch from Adam Hughes.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
It tells you how long ago this was.
Right.
So he got up in the morning and he got there first in line and he's like, all right, I want to get on the list. I want this commission. I want Jessie Quick because she's like a flash, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, okay. And he gets his name down, pays. All right, cool. So, you know, we're going through the show. It's a couple hours later. He stops back. And Adam Hughes is like, what do you think? All you see, you know, if it's a paper like this big, right?
Yeah.
Jesse Quick's head is up here. Like upside down.
Yeah.
There's a banana peel right here. And he's like, and I forget how much it was back then, but even back then it wasn't cheap. Yeah. It was like Adam Hughes, and he was still like a guy, and he was like, all right, that'll be $150, or I'll be like, you know, $180.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Like, I think
and you can see like my friend Rob's like looking at it, and he's got a Flash t-shirt on, and it's he's getting as red as like the Flash shirt. He's like,
oh no.
And Adam must have saw he was gonna like just blow a gas. He's like, whoa, whoa, it's a joke, man. It's a joke, man. Flip it over. And he flipped it over, and there's the Jesse Quick.
Yeah.
Juice, whatever.
Oh.
And man, we're all just like, we're laughing, but we're like,
yeah, we're like, whew.
Because it's like Saturday. It is a 3-day event. This guy's going to kill Adam Hughes.
He's going to, yeah.
We're going to be asked to leave. And we're staying here.
Right. Yeah. This is going to complicate things.
Oh my God. Man. It was so funny. And he was so, man, $150. What do you think? He was like, he played it so good. It's just like, when you're looking at it, you're like, yeah, what the fuck is this? And then you realize, like, what you like?
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. That's great. Oh, that's cool. Rough, and though, because I've seen some things that don't turn out well.
No.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, and these people are super pissed. And yeah.
Yeah. I've seen a guy.
That's hilarious. There's one artist, I don't want to name him, but he big Marvel artist, and I've had several friends tell me, because I was at a show with this guy, I'm like, oh, I'm so excited, so and so is here, and I've had several friends be like, if you get a commission from him, write it down on the piece of paper, because you will not get the person you're asking for. They're like, we went to him for Colossus, and when we came back, like, it was Spider-Man. And you're like, I like Spider-Man and all, but I really want Colossus. But they're like, yeah, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to like complain that we got this beautiful, you know, illustrate, because they look great. But the ones that it hurts is, like, I've had a couple people that, you know, they have theme sketchbooks.
Yeah.
So when somebody, you know, you're looking through it and it's like a Mary Jane sketchbook, and it's like Mary Jane, Mary Jane, Mary Jane, you know, then it's like Storm from the X-Men, and you're like, what happened there?
So a buddy of mine, he was putting a Robin thing together, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this was like Philly Wizard World, 2002 or whatever.
Yeah.
And, I won't say the artist's name. Being a kid, I loved his stuff. He worked if I say what book he worked on, okay.
Yeah, then, oh yeah, I got it.
But it was a supernatural character in Marvel that he worked on.
Okay. Yeah.
So he was like, yeah, man, dude, I want Robin. And he's like,
Robin. Like, I don't draw Robin.
Nah. Sabretooth instead. Do that. And he did this real quick, like, it's awesome, but he did this real quick, like, head sketch of, like, Sabretooth. He's like, man, yeah, there you go. And he was just like, and it was the same thing. He's sitting there because he was starstruck. He met the guy he wanted to meet, but he was like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I got to rip this out of my book now.
Yeah, I don't. He's walking away like, it's, like, yeah, I got this cool picture of fucking Sabretooth. I didn't fucking. Yeah. Even if I was going to ask for a Marvel character, I wasn't going to ask for Sabretooth.
Yeah, here's a top 10 list. Sabretooth is not on there.
Yeah, that's like, how do you go from Robin to Sabretooth? I don't know.
Right, yeah, totally makes sense. My friend Joe, he does not, he likes to draw what he likes to draw, right? So he's very blunt with people. You know, if somebody's like, hey, can I get a Robin? He'll be like, no, I don't want to draw a Robin. I like to draw, you've seen what I do. Give me something in my wheelhouse, which I really respect. I need to get better at that because if that person comes up and says, I want My Little Pony, I'll be pulling out my phone for reference. Like, all right, I'll draw you. I'm going to dance monkey dance. Mm-hmm. You know,
the more sketches you can do, the better your weekend's going to be.
Absolutely.
So it's like, and yeah. If someone comes up and it's like, well, I want My Little Pony. It's like, fuck, I've never drawn one of them.
Right.
I got to figure out real quick how to do it.
Yeah.
But you might have been able to get like two or three sketches done at that time. That's what the consumer doing on
exactly. yeah. I've on private commissions, when people email me or whatever, I'll push back a little bit with them. I'll be like, all right, listen, I'm not good at drawing what you just asked for. I am better at drawing these things. But if you insist, I will draw that for you. It probably won't look as good as it should.
Well, like I said, at least you're honest. At least you're not like, I can do that. And then it's like you give someone Dr. Doom or a red cape.
Right, exactly.
hey, buddy.
Hey, yeah.
Any horror movies coming out you're looking forward to? Anything new on the horizon you'd want to see?
You know, I still haven't watched Voyage of the Demeter.
Oh,
I'm really looking for. I saw yesterday that it was streaming on one of the 100 platforms. So I'm hoping to see that soon. Yeah, I mean, I want to see anything that Del Toro does. So that Frankenstein is. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm scared. I'm just because like Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
Neil, if you're out there, call
right,
me Frankenstein's monster. I know you won't let me hear the end of it if I say, yeah, Frankenstein.
Right.
The monster. That's my number one.
Yeah, it's a holy thing, right?
It's very sacred. It's very holy. So it's like, I'll be really devastated if it's not good.
Yes. Yeah.
I already have such a high standard it has to meet.
When I see a filmmaker... Like the new Nosferatu that Eggers is doing, right? Like, I'm looking forward to that because I have faith in what he can do. And that's kind of how I feel about Del Toro. I'm like, he loves that subject matter. He loves Frankenstein as a story. So I'm like, in my heart, I'm like, oh, this should be good.
Dude, Rich, I'm gonna call it here, man.
Yeah,
I can easily talk to you for like another.
I know. My wife has probably texted me like 10 times, like, "Hey, where are you at?"
Again, I want to thank Rich Woodall for coming on to the Marvel of Horror. Find us at the Marvel of Horror podcast on YouTube. Like, subscribe, leave your comments below. We want to hear from you, and we do Zoom calls now. If you want to be on the show, or you know someone who wants to be on a show, you want to talk some horror, you want to bullshit about Dr. Doom and red capes or whatever. And like I said, thank you again, Rich, man. Dude,
oh, thanks for having me.
To talk to you again.
Absolutely.
And you know, I'm gonna send you my address because I'm trying to get Frankenstein in space.
Yeah.
I'm all over that. I hope that's a movie somebody makes. I mean,
that'd be fantastic.
Everything, so maybe 3 years from now we'll see that on Shudder.
Oh, that's probably about the time that I'll put out the comic too. I'm so slow.
Excellence takes time.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna have on my grave.
Rich, thank you so much,
dude,
man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Dude, no problem, man. No problem. And like I said, I definitely would love to have you back. And I could
easily. We can talk about anything for a long time. So that's, yes. I like that.
Very good, my man. Dude, take care.
Thank you. Yeah, you too. I'll see you later.
All right, boss.